Once upon a time, there was a peddler. And her job was to go from place to place, buying and selling. And she had a big pack upon her back, full of all the things that she was buying and selling, taking from one place to the other. And every night, she'd find a place to stay, and there she would unpack her rucksack. She'd unpack that big bag that she always carried on her bag, because it was essential to her that she knew exactly what she had, and she never forgot anything. So she'd lay out upon the floor all the knick-knacks and schnick-schnacks and all the little pots and pans and soup plates and cups and glasses and all the little bits of lace and fabric and fine things and ordinary things that she was buying in one place and selling in another. And she'd lay them all out, and she'd make note of what she'd sold and made note of what she'd bought. And in this way, she kept track of everything. And then she'd pack it all up, and she'd put it very neatly back in her big old pack, and she'd set off the next morning for the next place. But one day she's walking by the walls of a big city. And as she's going by the banks of the big river that flows through that city, there where the river's just leaving the city, why, she notices on the banks of that river there's something sparkling. There's something shiny and sparkling. And she goes to it, and she picks it up, and oh my word, what does she have there in her hands? But a tiara. A tiara like the sort of thing a princess wears on her little head. Yes, a tiara. Well, she thinks to herself, finders keepers, and she puts it in her rucksack, and she carries on, and when she comes to the marketplace of that city, why, she lays that tiara right there in the middle of her stall, hoping that she'll sell it rather soon. But it's then that she hears of a great commotion taking place in that marketplace. Yes, people all over, in every corner, they're saying that the princess has lost her tiara, and where's it gone, and how's this happened, and did she lose it, or was she robbed? Everybody's talking about it, and then as soon as the word spreads that, why, there does seem to be a tiara on sale over there, have you seen it? A crowd's forming around our friend's stall, and accusing words are being spoken, and our friend saying, well, I found this tiara by the banks of the river on my way into the city. Surely that makes it mine. Well, quite a few people agree, but quite a few people disagree, saying that has to be the princess's, and rightfully it should be returned to her. Well, there's such a commotion now that before long the royal guards show up, and then the word goes back to the princess, and she shows up, and she says, that's my tiara. And a whole bunch of people say, the law says, finders keepers, that should belong to this peddler. Well, there's such a row that in the end the guards say, please, let's all calm down, everybody. And they say the peddler should go and see the queen herself, and the queen can decide who the tiara should go to. Well, when the queen has heard the whole story, she turns to her daughter and she says, did you really lose your own tiara? Well, it turns out that the princess, who was really a most especially forgetful person, had been playing by the river the day before and taken her tiara off so that she could have a swim. Well, by the time she'd finished, she forgot about her tiara. And then in the night, the rains had been so heavy that it had been washed away down the river to where our friend the peddler had found it. You lose everything, says the queen. I think you should swap place with this peddler so that you can learn what it is to really look after what you have. Mother, said the princess, shocked at the queen's idea. No, says the queen, she was liking this idea. You come back here only when you've found something so precious that you'll always take good care of it and never forget it at all. And that was that. The princess was given the sack of the peddler and her clothes too, and sent out into the world. Where is the peddler? Why, she enjoyed the life of a princess and can wear her fine clothes and do all the things that she used to do. Well, the princess was so ashamed she didn't want to be seen in the city where she'd previously been the princess. And so she hurried away and tried to get as far away as she could from her former home. And after a long day's travel, why, she came at last to a tavern, and she had a little room there, and she just took off the big bag and thinking to herself, well, this is really all I've got now. I better make sure I know what's actually inside it. She takes out all the things that are inside the bag. She takes them all out. The knick-knacks and the schnick-schnacks and the pots and the pans and the soup plates and the cups and the glasses and the bits of lace and the bits of fabric. She takes them all out and she looks at them all. And then when the bag is almost empty, she's just rooting around in the bottom of it. And then something hard and metallic, her fingers press against it. She thinks, what's this? I can't quite get it out. And as she looks deep inside the rucksack, she sees that there, in a secret little pocket, there are 3 gold coins. And she takes them out and she looks at them. And they're very unusual. She doesn't recognise the inscription, and she doesn't recognise the head of the queen upon that coin. And even the feel of the metal is strange to her fingers. But there's something special about these coins, and she instinctively puts them back in their secret pocket. And she buttons it up, and she puts everything back inside. And the next day, she just goes upon her way. But when she comes to the next place and she lays all her things out on the stall, why, very reluctantly, she takes the 3 gold coins and she puts them out too. But she's so skittish and nervous that someone might take them. Even if a buyer comes and fingers them and asks a few questions, she immediately says they're not for sale. Well, why are they on your stall then? Well, that was a question she couldn't quite answer. But the next time she put them out, but she kind of hid them behind a few other things. And the time after that, why, she didn't even take them out at all. But every night when she takes out everything and she makes a note of what she's sold and she makes an account of what she's bought and she looks at everything she's got to make sure she hasn't lost any of it or been robbed, why, it's always the 3 gold coins that she has the most interest for. It's always the 3 gold coins that she gets out and she fingers them and she looks at them. And she wonders where they came from. Until it comes to be that every time she stops in a place, why, she asks about for who the most travelled person is in that town. Who's been very far and who could tell stories of faraway places. And eventually some old man or woman is sent her way. And she asks them about the coins. Have you seen this inscription before? Do you recognise this queen? And all of them, why, they take the coin and they finger it and they say, well, it's very unusual metal. I've never seen anything like it. No, I don't think I've ever been to a place like this. I don't recognise the inscription or the queen's head. And so it goes, and so it goes, until for her, it becomes a little bit of an obsession. She's always asking people and getting no answers. Until there's hardly anything she thinks about more. Those golden coins and where they came from. Until one day, why, she's sitting by the banks of a river that's just in between 2 places. She's just come from somewhere and she's on her way somewhere else, but she's resting there by the banks of the river. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, a little old man pops up and he says, what are you looking for? And she's startled and she stares at this man. She says, me? I'm not looking for anything. Ah, yes, you are, he says. You've got looking written all over your face. What are you looking for? Well, she could see he couldn't be deceived, and so she told him the whole story of these strange golden coins in the rucksack and how she just couldn't find anybody who could tell her anything about them. Let me see those coins, says the little old man eagerly. And as soon as he has them in his fingers, why, he starts to press the metal as if trying to feel into it. He starts examining the inscription and grinning at the sight of the queen's head. He says, I know this place. I know this place very well. She said, oh, really, you must tell me how to get there. He said, no, you can't just get there by walking. No, this place is not even of this world. It's another place altogether. Well, how do I get there? She said. Oh, it's not too hard, if you know how, said the little old man. And then he told her that all she needed to do was to click her fingers 3 times and clap her hands 3 times and stamp her feet and turn around 3 times, and she would find herself in this other world. Well, the princess needed no encouragement, and she ran up the banks of the river, and there she clicked her fingers 3 times. She clapped her hands 3 times. She stamped her feet and turned around 3 times until all of a sudden, she found herself in another world altogether. Another world altogether where the sky was green and the grass was blue. Where the horses ran past with great big ears like elephants. Where the birds flew overhead with multicoloured wings and beaks. And she was so excited that she joined a big road that seemed to be going ever, ever into the distance, and soon other people were travelling along it with her. And she travelled a whole day until, at last, she came to the great city there. And after a whole day's travelling, well, she was hungry and thirsty. So she goes to the tavern, but she thinks, well, I don't quite know what it is I have to spend. I mean, how much are these coins worth anyway? And so she asks the barman, how much are these coins worth in this place? And the poor man, as soon as he sees those coins, he almost falls over. And he says, just wait here. And he runs and he gets his friends, and they come over and they have a look, and everybody is astonished. They say, these coins are the queen's 3 coins that she's been looking for the longest time. Great rewards have been put out for these exact 3 golden coins. No one's managed to bring them to the queen. You must be very careful. Guard these with your life, but make your way as fast as you can to the queen's palace, and you will be rewarded. So our friend, she pushes those coins deep into her pockets, and she runs all the way to the queen's palace. When she gets there, why, she's rather amazed. Because it's not the kind of thing she was expecting. It's a dreary, grey place with all the curtains drawn and nothing nice or fine about it. Whoever lives here is clearly sunk in misery. When she tells the guard on duty her business and she shows him the 3 coins, why, he almost falls over too. He says, I have to show you to the queen. And so she is led down these dreary corridors, until they come to the most dreary room of all, and there, sitting on a throne that is anything but resplendent, there is the old queen. And she seems to have been crying for years and years, and she is deep in mourning. However, when she is shown the 3 coins, why, her face brightens up, and she says, where did you find these? I must know. Well, the princess then tells her the whole story. The whole story. And the queen jumps up from her throne and she says, you must take me to this place. You must take me there now. And so she does. They go out of the city together, the 2 of them, and they come to the riverbank. And there they click and clap and stamp and turn around 3 times. And all of a sudden, the whole world is changed. Back into the world that we know. And the queen is appalled. She says, why is the sky blue? And why is the grass green? And why have those horses got such small ears? Well, the princess says, come on, I'll explain everything later. And they hurry off, the two of them, back to the city where the princess used to live. Yes, they hurry off, the two of them, back to the city where the princess used to live. And when she arrives and explains everything to her mother, why, the peddler is summoned, and no sooner does the peddler arrive and set eyes upon the old queen from the other kingdom, why, she recognises her at once as her long-lost, long-forgotten mother. And when the old queen recognises her daughter, she cries for joy. She cries for joy to be reunited with the daughter that she hadn't seen for so many years, the daughter that she'd sent out into the world to seek her fortune with nothing but 3 golden coins to remember who she was and where she'd come from. Well, it turned out that her daughter had got so lost that she'd ended up in another world altogether, in this world that we live in. And she'd forgotten so much that she'd quite forgotten all about her mother and her kingdom and become a peddler instead. A peddler who always took great care to remember what she had for fear she might forget yet again something that was so important. And when the queen from this world heard all of this, she turns to her daughter, the princess, and she says, so, have you found something so precious that you can't ever forget it? And the princess, she said, yes, I have. For I've found how precious it is to be with those you love and be in the place where you belong. And with that, why, the queen, she welcomed the princess back into her palace. And the old queen and the peddler, who was really a princess too, they travelled back to their world. And when they got there, why, the feasting went on for 3 days and 3 nights. And at the end of all of that, why, the old queen, she pronounced her daughter the new queen in her place. And there were such festivities then that, well, people could hardly eat or drink enough. And I was there, yes, I was there, telling stories all about losing and finding. And at the end of it, why, the queen, she came up to me. She said, I liked your stories, but I've got one even better. And that's when she told me this story I've just told you now.